You are listening to the How to Talk to Girls podcast with me, Trip Kramer. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the How to Talk to Girls podcast. I'm your host, Trip Kramer from tripadvicecoaching.com. On today's episode, we have an interesting conversation slash interview with a person that I wouldn't normally chat with on the podcast, or I should say, I just haven't done a lot of these. I'm actually talking to someone who is a follower of Trip Advice, someone who watches the YouTube channel. And we have been in very light contact over the DMs and Instagram for the past few years. And he messaged me something that really caught my eye. He said, "Hey man, I want to chat with you and tell you about my experience as a passport bro and tell you that a lot of it is bullshit." I thought, okay, that's interesting. Let's do it. I haven't done any episodes on passport broing, being a passport bro, going to different countries to meet women. I'm not going to go too deep into it now because you'll actually hear about what this all means in just a bit. But I was very excited to have him on. So this is it. This is our conversation about a guy who has actually taken his time to leave America, leave the West, go to an Eastern country, go to Thailand, and focus on meeting women there. So you're going to hear about his journey. You're going to hear about why he's doing it, how he's doing it, some of the troubles that he finds with it. And you're going to hear a lot of my opinions too, as you, especially as you get closer to the end of the episode, on how I feel about what it means to be a passport bro. So I'm not going to give any of that away. I think you should just listen. I think you're going to find a lot of interesting thoughts and ideas here. I'm even curious that this is going to convince you to be a passport bro. As you'll find out, I don't think that's the best idea for you. But if you are a guy who is considering it, who's thinking, I do want to leave the country to meet women because it's just too hard here and I don't want to deal with westernized modern women, and you have a lot of complaints over that, I want you to really look at what your process is for meeting and attracting women. Because I believe that if you're putting in the bare minimum, you're not going to get much in 2024. It's going to be a lot harder for you to get results. That is why I have a coaching program that has been helping guys so they can attract women in the West, in America. Of course, we do work with people all over the world, by the way, but we help you attract women so you don't have to flee your country to then meet women. You don't have to take your whole life and uproot it in order to go and meet women. So we can help you there. If you want to learn about how that works, go to tripadvicecoaching.com, book a call with us. We'll chat with you. We'll see what it all entails to be able to help you here. We do help with online dating. We help with meeting women in person. We do it all, and we will make sure that you get results with women and dating. So go to tripadvicecoaching.com. That link is in the show notes. And real quick, before we head into the episode, I just want to say that I've been testing and playing with new software. It's funny, I've been going back and forth between the two main softwares that people use to record podcasts when you do interviews. And I keep switching back and forth because there's a lot of bugs and errors. And that happens today. So you're going to hear all of a sudden, it's going to go from really good quality to just okay quality. It's still going to be totally manageable. You're going to be able to hear it just fine. But if you're like, why does everything sound a lot different than it did just a second ago? It's because we had to switch softwares to make it work because the recording got interrupted. Anyway, what can I do? Here's the episode. Check it out. What's up, Alex? I'm glad to have you on the podcast. You reached out to me over DMs, and we've been kind of chatting for a while. You've been following Trip Advice for a bit, right?
Yes, I think I've been a follower for 5 or 6 years, actually, you know, since I was in America.
Oh, that's crazy. Where did you first find Trip Advice?
Oh, I don't even remember. All I remember is that, like, your advice was not only helpful, but it kind of, a lot of times I would re-listen to your videos or re-watch them to kind of, like, you know, consistently keep on track with how I interact with women. You know, sometimes I may have not always, like, learned something new because I've been doing it already, but I would be like, okay, yeah, you have organized my thoughts a lot of times, you know?
Cool. That's awesome. Okay. So you first found it on, it sounds like, YouTube. You ever listen to the podcast? that you're currently on right
sorry,
now?
YouTube. Yeah. I haven't, I actually watch your clips from your podcast.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Yeah. Nice, man. Well, you got to listen to the podcast. This is where all the real fun happens. So you reached out to me recently and you said something that was very interesting. You said how there was a bunch of lies in this Passport Bros community or experience that was happening. Before we go into you talking about it, maybe you can tell the listeners, what is a Passport Bro? What does that mean? What is this whole new wave all about?
Yeah, so a Passport Bro, and by the way, I hate the name. I don't even like when people call me a bro in general, but all right, fine. So a Passport Bro is essentially a Western man in America, Britain, or a Western country who is, you know, looking for a traditional woman, just like me, realize that, well, that's over in America. And, you know, but I still want to obviously get married and have a family. So we go to other countries where the traditional cultures has still been preserved. Some go to South America, some go to Africa, and a lot of people go to Southeast Asia. Unlike what men used to do, I guess, in the 80s and 90s, like they would go to Russia and bring the wives over back to America, we don't. We actually go and actually permanently live in whatever country we decide to move to. And there are some reasons behind that. And that's what I did. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It's interesting that you said that because this is not brand new. There was another version of this with, what do they call it? Mail order wives? Was that
mail
what it was
order brides? Yeah.
Mail and order brides. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was going on there for a while.
Yeah, well, the mistake was to, you know, take a traditional woman and yank her out of her culture, out of her support system, which is her friends and family, and then put her in a new culture where you're the only person that she really knows. And obviously people change. I mean, I know I have, because when I immigrated to America, I mean, obviously you have to adjust and you become a different person. And then a lot of times guys go like, wait a second, that's not a woman I've met in Russia. Well, that's because you've made her into an American woman, and they would get a divorce.
Yeah. Also, it's just like, it was very sad because a lot of these women, the reason why they were doing it is because they were trying to get out of their country and flee. That was a lot of the stories that I remember hearing from these mail order brides. That is not the case here. It's a lot different. It's funny. It's like the opposite. It's men fleeing the country in order to live this Passport Bro life with these Eastern women. So how long have you been trying this out for?
So I moved here to Bangkok, Thailand a little over a year ago. I just celebrated my 1 year anniversary.
Wow. Okay. So 1 year. And what was your personal reason for doing this and wanting to do it? I mean, I know you explained why people do it, but I just want to hear a little bit more from you and what triggered you to say, okay, this is what I'm going to do now. Because that's a pretty big decision to say, I'm going to leave the country that I'm in, leave all of the people that I know, and start this new life to then find other women. So what was your reasoning?
It is a huge decision, you know, and my life in America was really great. You know, it's not like I was some, you know, schmuck who just couldn't make it. And, you know, so that was extremely difficult. I've always dated pretty, you know, submissive, traditional, shy, kind women in America. Never really had a problem, you know, having a girl by my side in a long-term relationship. You know, I had 2 7-year relationships and 1 5-year relationship. And it was great. And my last relationship ended when I realized that, you know, my amazing submissive girlfriend just started changing into a modern woman just from the pressure from her coworkers and friends and the culture and social media. Essentially, she just became a different person. And I was like, all right, okay. I mean, I've done this before. I'll, you know, I'm a good man. I earn good money overall. I don't have any bad habits or kids running around or anything like that. So, you know, I'll do it again. And I realized that, things are no longer the same for the reasons that you talk about your channel all the time. they're no longer a secret, right? Women have changed. They've become modern women. And after trying for a while, first I moved from one city to another, and then I moved from one state to another, and I realized that that's just not going to do. This, even if I was to find somewhere the girl who's still been preserved as a traditional woman, what's going to happen, you know, when I start dating her or maybe marry her, you know, she would turn on me under the same pressure of social media and the society, and then I would have to, you know, break up again. In America, I just didn't want to get married in general. No offense to anybody. I think it's a horrible idea for a man who earns good money. And you know what really did it for me? The cherry on top was, do you know the story about, you know, frog and a scorpion?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So that's the story that I realized that, you know what? At the end of the day, a modern woman is going to be a modern woman. There's, you know, there's just no going back from that culture anytime soon. And I've decided, okay, I've had a list of countries where I could move to. And of course, you can't just
Before we get into that real quick, hold that thought. I want to ask you, what is it about modern women that you don't like? And what is it about traditional women that you do like?
So I like gender roles, right? I'm used to being a leader in a family, and not just because I'm male. It's because I have made a lot of mainly good decisions in my life. I can make good decisions for my family. I'm a provider. Everything that comes with essentially being what used to be considered a high value man, you know, education, come from a good family, no bad habits. I don't even drink. I've always been in relationships like that. And a traditional woman is a woman who is submissive, who has chosen her man who she believes is the leader of the family, leaves all of the decisions to him. Even when there is a disagreement, you know, usually a woman goes with a decision of a man because she trusts him to make better decisions for her than she can make herself. And of course, everything that comes with it, you know, quiet, shy, kind, never would raise a voice on a man, appreciates and respects the man, which basically is completely gone from most relationships in America. So hopefully that kind of paints a general picture. Yes?
Okay. Yep, it does. Continue.
So, yeah, so I've decided, you know, I had a list of countries, and because I think a lot of people don't understand, you can't just show up to a country, and I know you travel a lot as well, and just stay there for as long as you want, because, you know, you get a visa, but a visa ends, and then you have to go. So there are only a small list of countries where you can actually stay forever if you want to. I had some friends who lived in Thailand, and they actually, you've been on one of my friends' live stream a while back, Nick Niman, when you were in Chiang Mai. And I've also known a couple of others, and they gave me a general idea of what to expect. I've been talking to them for a year and planning it and weighing everything. And finally, I decided, you know, let me go. I can always come back. But I need to see Thailand and Philippines and Vietnam and a few other countries and see, you know, what the fuss is all about.
Okay. So what happened?
Well, so when I showed up here, and by the way, let me just say that moving to Thailand is one of the best decisions I have made for myself. And not just for my dating life, just generally speaking, the quality of life is about 10 times better than I've ever had. And I've always made six digits. Always lived in California, nice areas, drove nice cars, had a great health insurance and all of that stuff. And
what makes it nice there, the quality of living? What do you like about
it? So healthcare, for example, here is much nicer. If you have private insurance and you go to a private hospital, we have one of the best hospitals in Asia, literally 20 minutes from me. You know, that alone, I would say, is a reason to move out of the US, just if, especially if you care about your health. The food, and not just because it's delicious, but also the way it's sourced. Food in America and many Western countries are sourced quite badly with the GMO and the way it post-processed. Here, it's pretty much, you would say, most of the food here is organic. Another thing that I had to do in America, and I hate guns with all my heart, but even I ended up getting a concealed carry license in the United States because of, you know, crime going up, law enforcement numbers going down, a number of criminals going up, and I ended up carrying a weapon with me at all times, where here, there is pretty much no violent crime. Like, literally just no violent crime whatsoever. But I probably should have mentioned the following at the top of the list, the people. Thai people are so kind and respectful. I mean, they literally make me a better person with every day. And it is in contrast to what I've experienced in America over the last few years, probably after COVID, it started happening. It is just so important for me, for people just to treat each other with basic, right? I mean, I felt in America, even just like basic common courtesy and respect is completely absent. So, oh, and I almost forgot, everything is 3 to 5 times cheaper in here as well. But that's not a good reason to just come here for that.
I would say this though, you lived in California for a while, so check out the Midwest. People are a little bit nicer. But anyway, okay. So those are the reasons why you really like Thailand. Now let's get into what you were saying to me over the DMs when you were saying that something was off, something wasn't working when you were trying this Passport Bros thing out.
Yeah. So, I mean, I kind of realized that everything that I saw on social media and still do about the Passport Bro movement is just a kind of a lie. It's just a myth. So like, let me explain. And there's like, I kind of, as I was thinking about it, there's like 5 things that if you've been following this movement or whatever you want to call it, you're probably going to feel cheated and definitely lied to. Though, like I said, I'm still glad I'm here. I will find, you know, my girl here. Absolutely. She's somewhere here. She's definitely not over there. I know that for a fact. And I guess I'm going to start with the most, I guess, mind-blowing thing to me, at least, is that, you know, I've lived here for over a year, as I mentioned, and I'm a very active guy. I go out all the time. I meet a lot of people and I've met a lot of, you know, foreign men, Western men who moved here. And I have yet to meet another Passport Bro. Like, you know, I've asked every single guy, like, why did you move here? And not a single one told me it's to, you know, essentially find a wife or find a long-term relationship. And Thailand is supposed to be the number one destination for Passport Bros. So it's just very few of us. And if you think about it, and I guess that goes into my number two, is that how many American men, let's just take American men, are really qualified to be Passport Bros, right? You have to be somewhat alpha. You have to appreciate and at least once hopefully experience a traditional woman. So you need to know what it is that you're looking for, right? But from what I've been seeing is that, you know, here, American and Western men come here to Thailand and continue to simp. I mean, it's almost like they don't understand that tables have been turned here. I mean, if you are somewhat good looking, somewhat in shape, make somewhat okay income, you automatically go into a top 1%. And foreigners here are very much, you know, considered to be upper class, generally speaking, you know. So, but these guys continue to simp like they're still in America. And that's kind of gives me an idea that there are very few guys in America who actually even know that what they're looking for is not even there. And that you can actually meet a girl who will respect you and take care of you and all of those things that are amazing about traditional women.
Well, I'll say this is that that's not so much a myth of the Passport Bros. It's still the Passport Bro movement is, according to what you just said there, still exists. But you're just saying that, FYI, to any guy who wants to go try and do this, it's not as easy. Or is that what you're saying? The myth is that it's easy and it's really not.
Well, so I haven't even gotten into that yet. I'm just saying that there is not enough people to call it a movement. It's just literally just me and maybe a few other guys that you see on TikTok and so forth. And I actually...
Unless they're not admitting it to you.
Well, but I wasn't asking people, are you a Passport Bro? I would ask them, hey, what brought you to Thailand? So it's my determination that these guys are not here as Passport Bros. And even those guys in those videos that you guys watch are really not Passport Bros. If you come here and you pay for the girl, right, and you continue to simp, you're not really a Passport Bro, right? You just came in here to buy women and you just couldn't afford them in America. Now you can afford them because everything's cheaper here. That's not a Passport Bro, right? So that's what I'm saying, is that there's just really not that many people, and guys who do come here for other reasons and end up dating Thai women, they continue to simp. like I said, that brings me to another, the third part is that here's the thing. When you come here, there is a very small number of people and therefore women who actually speak English. And so foreigners end up dating Thai women who speak English because Thai is extremely difficult language to learn. I am learning it right now. And I've already learned one language before. I can tell you it's like 10 times harder. So these foreign men are limited to only Thai women who speak English. And honestly, they've Americanized and Westernized so much that really there's no reason to come here if you want to date the same girl you dated in America. Because
that's hilarious. Because it's Westernized. That's funny.
Yes. And not only women are Westernized, but if they are dating the Sims, right, they become, you know, modernized very quickly because they realize, oh, I can do this. That I don't have to respect him. I just can get money out of him. He's going to do this and this and this. And like, there's one guy who lives in my building and he has a Thai girlfriend. And, you know, when I see that, like when I usually hang out outside and just eat a little bit of ice cream before going home. And I see her come down and get the deliveries of food that he pays for, even though, you know, come on, if you are married or dating a Thai woman, how is she not cooking you a delicious Thai meal at the end of your, you know, hard, you know, long work day? And they figured out, oh, I don't even have to cook. I don't have to clean. This guy's going to pay for everything and I can just chill. Now, that brings me to my number four and how to actually find the traditional women. And there is only one way, and it is to learn Thai, the language. And these are traditional women. So you will not find them on Tinder. You will not find them at the nightclubs or Starbucks. The traditional way how you meet women in any kind of traditional culture is usually through friends and family, through your activities, and the courting process, you know, is very different. You know, basically how it used to be back in the day, right? There were no apps or, you know, nightclubs. Nobody met their wives at nightclubs. So you have to start over and start, you know, making Thai friends and just friends in general so they can introduce you to traditional Thai women, and you better speak some Thai. Now, I'm finally at the point where I speak very little, where I can carry just a tiny little simple conversation. So, you know, and there's Google Translate on top of that. And I'm only now, after 1 year, I have Thai friends and they're now introducing me to some women who are just absolutely unreachable, you know, if you're just coming in with English and Tinder. But, and this is my number five point, and I don't mean to be Debbie Downer, but at the end of the day, I do see the Western culture slipping through the cracks already here. I ask myself, you know, what do I need to do when I meet that girl, not allow, you know, what happened to me with my ex? And I'm sure it happened to a lot of guys in America and Western countries where you start dating this amazing girl and then she turns on you and becomes a modern woman. And that's the end. Obviously, not teaching her English would be one, right? Not taking her away from her family and friends. You want to make sure that you guys live close enough where she absolutely has her support system. And you also need to learn Thai culture. It is very, 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 very different than American culture. So you need to become part of it. You need to become part of her family, establish relationships with her family as you would, right? That is the new challenge, because just finding a girl is just the beginning of the journey. I think the biggest challenge is, you know, how do you keep her? How do you keep her away from, you know, Beyonce and Taylor Swift and everybody else, so you can actually keep your traditional wife? And by the way, here in Thailand, I don't mind getting married. There is not a huge punishment for a failed marriage for a man. So you
really have to completely get absorbed into the culture itself. It's not just, hey, you're going to go there as this random American guy and then pick up some women and think it's going to just magically happen for you. Well, we know in Thailand, at least. I know people go to other countries, even though Thailand seems to be, as you said, I'll take your word for it, the largest or most popular place to go to actually do something like this. So it's a lot more work that needs to be. You know, it's interesting too, as you say this, Alex, it's like there's a lot of work either way. I do believe in Oh, I know for sure. It's not even a belief. In America, you can, if you're looking for a more traditional woman, they do exist. However, you have to find them and filter and sort through. If you're looking for a traditional, or they call it a trad wife, there are specific places you're going to want to go. You're probably not going to want to go to a blue state, you know, somewhere that's more liberal. You might go somewhere that's more conservative. You might have to move there. You might have to do whatever you need to do to find that type of woman. It's going to be a lot of work.
It
sounds
is a lot of
like
work.
It's the same idea if you're going to try to be a successful passport bro and do it right, is that you're going to have to put in not this, it's a different kind of work, but you're still going to have to put in some sort of effort somewhere. Sounds really hard.
You know, I live by this saying, nothing worth having ever comes easy. And I think an amazing relationship is definitely something that is worth, you know, but in my case, it's different because you like you said earlier, well, you have to, assimilate to the culture. Well, I don't have to, I want to. I love this culture. This culture is all about respect.
Well,
and
I would
kindness,
hope. Yeah.
You know?
I think it's really lame if you were just, yeah, I'm going to assimilate to this culture because I just want to find the woman. It's like, that's a little lame. You know, hopefully they're like you and you actually take an interest and there's other reasons why you respect and enjoy the culture. And it's not just going over there to just get that woman that you're looking for. To me, that sounds a little desperate.
Yeah. And like I said, I love the culture and I love the people and I love assimilating to their culture, and they're making me into a better man with every day. And all the other perks that I've mentioned go along with it, which I love. Now, I do have to say that I am casually dating a few women, and currently right now it's three. So two of them don't speak English and one of them does. And, already I see a huge contrast between them, so I do get a pretty good, that's another thing, man. It's been a minute since I have been with a girl who is this amazing, even though these relationships are casual from, different reasons, but I still think these, women are extremely amazing and kind. And even though these relationships are temporary, I'm still enjoying just being with an amazing woman who is traditional and who treats me with respect and kindness. So I'm experiencing it already. I know what I mean? Regardless of what's going to happen in the future, because it's in their DNA. And I love it. And of course, when you're dating a girl who doesn't speak English, your Thai gets better much faster.
Right, right. Interesting. Okay. So you're dating these few women. What have you seen so far in these women? If you have any examples that have been what you're looking for in terms of their traditional sense, their femininity, things like that.
I mean, first, just the way they walk and talk and behave, very feminine. They don't raise their voices. As a matter of fact, most of them speak like a bunch of kittens are sleeping on their tongues and they just don't want to wake them up. Very soft. Very polite. I have never heard, I just generally have not heard a Thai woman raise her voice at a man here. They take care of you and they appreciate when you take care of them. You know, I do my own thing, right? I plan our dates. I open doors. I obviously pay for dinners and whatever activities. But instead, I don't want to say instead, on their part, and when they're playing their part, when I come home, the first thing these girls a lot of times do, they either tighten up the place or put my slippers in front of me. They make sure that I'm taken care of. If we're, sitting, having drinks, they make sure that my teacup is full of tea all the time, that my clothes are clean. And most importantly, actually, probably I should mention that on top of the list is that just the appreciation. I mean, how many times in America for the last several years I would either pay for dinner or open the door and I wouldn't even get a thank you. And here, not only you get a thank you, at the end of the date when they get home, they will write you a message saying, thank you for doing this. Thank you for taking me out. And they will literally sometimes list everything you've done for them for the entire evening just to show you their appreciation. They will say good morning and good night and always make sure that hey, have you eaten here?
Isn't that funny? That's already the bar now. Good morning and good night. That's hilarious.
I know.
They say, I'm not making fun of you. I'm making fun of this situation. Is that's the bar. Good morning.
That
and
is
good night.
The bar. So here's another funny thing. When Western women come here to live, you know, I, because I decided, I was like, all right, well, let me try dating a, you know, Russian girl, an American girl. I'm sure she's different here. What shocked me is that, you know, Western women would come here, see that what is happening, right? That all the foreigners are with Thai women and how Thai women behave and all that stuff. And you would, and by the way, nobody here wants to date Western women. I didn't realize it at first. And yet, when I did try to go on a date, I got an exactly same attitude as in America, and which blows my mind, because you would think they see why they're single. They see what Thai women do for their men, whether they're foreign or Thai, the behavior they need to kind of reacquire in order to get a man. And yet they live here by themselves with their cats, I'm assuming, and antidepressants, and change nothing. And a lot of times they end up leaving. And you can look up a lot of their conversations on Reddit and say, like, oh my God, I used to come into the, you know, a bar in whatever, New York or San Francisco, and there would be a line of men, you know, and here I'm like invisible. So, and it's another amazing phenomenon that happens, is that a modern woman is very stubborn, even when the results are right in front of them. Whenever I do talk to these women, they always say, well, Alex, you know, your list of demands, things are just so long. And I tell them, like, no, the only reason I even have a list of things that I'm looking for is that I used to never have to even think to watch out for a girl saying thank you for when I do something for them. And now somehow, when it stopped happening, it just made the list.
Right, it made the list of being a demand. You know, I find it interesting too is, you know, you might say, I don't want a stubborn woman, which I agree with. I personally don't want a stubborn woman either. I believe that being stubborn is a very unattractive quality. I could hear a woman saying, or someone else saying, who doesn't, you know, believe in the difference in the dichotomy between, you know, male and female, masculine, feminine, saying that, well, no one wants a stubborn person. And I would actually disagree with that. I think that when a man is more stubborn, it's actually presenting a more masculine quality that can be very attractive to a woman. If a guy is not stubborn, that probably means he's more of a pushover, more weak, and therefore not attractive. Now, I'm not telling you guys out there who are listening to just go be stubborn, be who you are, but just knowing this idea and this concept that there are differences between male and female qualities that are going to be attractive. Another one would be cooperative, right? It's like, you know, you were saying this earlier. I don't know if you actually said this word, but cooperative is a term that a lot of passport bros or people are looking for trad wives are looking for a woman to be very cooperative. And again, you could say, well, who doesn't want to be with someone who's cooperative? Well, of course, if you're too on the other end of the spectrum where you're not cooperative at all or extreme stubbornness, that's one thing, but it's not going to affect the way a woman becomes attracted to a man as much as it will affect how a man becomes attracted to a woman. What do you think about that, Alex?
Yeah, well, so first of all, I disagree with the word stubborn here. I am assertive. I have standards and boundaries, and I absolutely enforce them. For example,
I like that.
Reframing, yeah, that's not it, stubborn. Yes. I mean, every girl who goes out with me, if she doesn't even know just on her own, if she hasn't been taught as a woman, if a woman raises her voice at me, yells at me, for example, that is the end of a relationship. I don't care if it's a first date or after 10 years. My boundary is you do not yell at me as a woman, because I don't yell at you as a man, because I have respect, and that's not how I operate as an alpha male. I don't yell at my girlfriend or my wife. So raising your voice at me ends a relationship automatically. And it did happen here once. So I'm not stubborn. I think that's a misleading word. I think I'm being assertive as I should be, because I have a lot to offer to a woman. I mean, here, you know, I hate to say this, but, you know, if I go out with a girl and, or let's say if I marry an average Thai girl here, I will change her life. I mean, her life will change in terms of everything, you know, the quality of her life will go up drastically. So I'm sorry. And on top of that, even in America, I was educated. I make good income. I'm a good man. I've never been physically abusive, never cheated on a girl. You know what I mean? So yeah, in order to get that, you kind of have to, I guess, to be assertive. And like I said, this is the, I think, an issue with American men. They end up letting women disrespect them and push their boundaries and cross their boundaries. And instead of walking away, they're like, well, I have nowhere to go. And at least I'm getting laid. At least I'm getting some company. And that's, you know, I've never blamed women for becoming these undateable modern women. I've always blamed American men, and I still do, for allowing this to happen. What you permit, you promote. Every time a woman raises your voice or disrespects you and you don't walk away, you create a monster. And in general, I believe as at least single male population in America right now are generally simping, and I blame them.
That's an interesting thought. I never thought about it that way. I do wonder, you know, if we go back to the original feminist movements, you know, in the 60s, burning your bra, you know, women starting to become more prominent in the workplace, things like that. I wonder if the movement of feminism was a reaction to how men were treating women at the time. Whereas if they had, again, I'm not sure. I haven't done much studying on this or really why or how that feminist movement started in the 60s and why, what was the catalyst that brought it to this point where there was the first wave of feminism. But you're saying you think that it was men who really almost drove it to happen that way.
Well, not exactly. That's what's happening now. Now, regardless of what started the feminist movement, I was very much supportive of that because feminists were women who were fighting for equal rights for women. And I'm all for that. However, what—
Right, the right to vote, own property. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. But what it became is sort of a dominance over men and making men into second-class citizens. And even the laws that we have, right? I mean, alimony. I mean, honestly, if you want to see how unequal the rights are, and I always, you know, in the last 5 years, I felt like a second-class citizen just because I'm a man, you know, look at alimony laws. I mean, a man has to continue doing his biggest duty as a husband after divorce, which is to provide. And yet, no court has ever said, oh, yeah, well, you pay her the money that you always provided, and you, ma'am, have to blow him every day like you did as when you were wife. Like, it is insane how somehow this became a norm and everything else goes into this. What really my thoughts are about what's been happening in the last 5 years is that men allowed more and more and more of that. And it's, you know, people would rather figure out who are they voting for based on their stance on abortion, something that a lot of times they really will never have to face, rather than how a politician looks after the, you know, men's rights. That's very sad. And that's one of many reasons I left, and I don't want to come back.
So you'll never come back?
Well, I don't want to say never, of course, unless things change. I mean, things change. The world changes very quickly, right? As long as things stayed the same, I see zero reasons to come back. Even if we're just talking about relationships, I have just no interest. And once in a while, I get reminded of that when I, you know, either talk to a Western woman or I end up talking to a Thai girl who speaks English. And it reminds me of like, oh God, that's what I ran away from. And yeah, I don't see myself coming back unless something changes either in Thailand or in America.
Understood. Are you advocating and encouraging men to do the passport movement, or what's your stance on that? Are you telling guys like, yeah, you should do it? Do you care? Because a lot of the movement too, and what people say is like, yeah, you got to do it. Like, they're promoting it, telling guys like, this is the way.
So I know some men in America who are, would make amazing husbands and they're good men, but they're okay with just stop dating women. Obviously, I wouldn't recommend this because they're okay with just without women in their lives. I'm not okay. Like, I do want to be married. I think my life is better when I share it with a woman. But also, if you're a simp, right? A lot of guys don't even know they're simps. You don't really see the problem. You end up basically, you know, happy wife, happy life, which is one of the worst things you can live by. And that's how they go through life, unhappy without realizing it. So to those men, they have no need for that. However, for men like me who are alpha men, who are, you know, looking for a submissive traditional woman, I think the only way, and again, I wouldn't have done it otherwise if I even had a tiny little glimmer of hope, you know, in America. And, you know, yes, do it. But don't just show up here. It does take planning. You know, you first, you know, need to understand what your, you know, legal status is going to be. You need to understand how you're going to provide for yourself and make money, you know, online like you and I. You obviously need to understand, you know, all the legalities and a lot of other things, but not a lot of people can actually do that. Some have families and, you know, things they are, and a lot of people just not able to make such a humongous change in their lives. I mean, you and I travel a lot, right? So coming to a different country is not something like, oh my God, I can't believe it. I'm on Mars, you know? But for a lot of people, it's such a cultural shock. So you do have to prepare yourself, but don't just show up here or Philippines or whatever other country and just say you're going to wing it. It does require a lot of planning and, you know, you don't want to have regrets. I don't. But yes, if you're looking for a traditional wife and you're single in America or any Western country, I don't even think you have a choice.
Interesting. I disagree with part of that. If you are a person who, it's, to me, the passport bro movement doesn't seem sustainable. So
how so?
Well, most guys can't just do that. Can't just do that. I guess you did mention that a little bit, but most guys, if they're complaining about, I think they're giving up too fast. I think they're giving up too fast. They're not putting in the work or effort needed to be able to find the kind of woman that they want. It's not sustainable for most guys because you can't just pick and uproot your life and then move halfway across the world. And how many people want to do that? I mean, personally, I would not want to do that. I have family here. I have friends here. I have a life here. And I can only imagine, obviously not everyone is like me, but there's going to be a lot of men who are like me, who don't want to just move halfway across the world and figure out how to make money halfway across the world, leave all their people behind in order to find the right woman. And to me, it would be giving up too easily if you were to try to go that route and do all that to get out of America.
So I agree with that. And, you know, like in my case, I've dated for a few years. Then I moved cities. Then I moved states. Then I took another year to think about all of this and to research everything and talk to people who live there, you know, and also traveled to many countries before that. So, you know, and I by the way, I'm 47 this month. So, you know, at some point, like, you know, I had to make that decision and I have tried everything I could to not leave because, you know, like I said, my life was great there. And so, but at the same time, it's like I said, it's about priorities. If your priority and you do have an ability to make money or can figure out how to make money while living somewhere else, you know, even if you're married, by the way, I would still recommend moving to a country like Thailand just for other benefits I mentioned earlier. But if you're a single guy who's looking for a traditional wife, like I said, you asked me if I recommend this, right? And I said, if you can handle it,
right,
in many different difficult ways, I don't even think it's a tough decision at all. It's pretty much a must do. I mean, what are your choices otherwise? I mean, honestly.
Work harder and do what's necessary to find a woman inside of America. Unless you are just eager to get out of the country because you have all these reasons not to be here and not just because you're trying to find a new woman. That's what I would say.
And I guess it's, you know, obviously we will never have data on something like this, right? But like my personal conclusion, and it was based on a lot of things, not just my personal experiences or even my immediate circle experiences, is that there are very, very, very small number of traditional women in America and it's going down with every day. And my fear was that it would be impossible to keep them traditional if you marry them. And then of course, the punishment of divorce. So those things have made me decide to, again, leave my family and friends and my amazing life in America, which I still miss in some ways, you know?
Yeah. Well, listen, if it's working for you, it's working for you. If anyone wants to try this out, see how it works, and like Alex, come on the podcast, they totally can. I'd like to hear your experience. Email me, trip@tripadvice.com. If anyone else is having a passport bro experience, email me, trip@tripadvice.com. and we'll chat. I'll have you on the podcast. Alex, thank you so much for being here, man. I was very excited to talk to you when you reached out to me on Instagram, and I appreciate you coming on and sharing your experience. And it was just interesting to hear how this whole thing is going, because as much as I've heard about it, I have yet to talk to anyone who's actually doing it. And I will say, I do respect your choice. You know what you want. You went for it. This is what you did. You understand the reality of what it is. I do disagree that I don't think every guy should do that, even if they feel like they're on their last resort. But either way, I appreciate you being on and sharing your story.
Thanks for having me, man. And like I said, thanks for being a great guiding light for me, you know, in my dating life. I really appreciate your advice and still watch your videos daily.
Awesome. Thanks, man. Now you got to listen to the podcast, especially this one.
I will. Awesome. And I'll start with this one.
There you go. Very good. Thanks, Alex. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Catch you next time.